Nice to see you all. So today I'm doing a bit about lessons in the life from the Psalms. It's part four of this series over the summer. And I'm excited to bring you Psalm 73. So here we go. So I'll read verses 1 to 14 and then we'll kick off with a little bit. So here we go. Surely God is good to Israel, to those pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, they had no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? How does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. They're always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. So Asaph isn't very happy. He is the writer of the psalm, and he's a songwriter for King David. But he's jealous of everyone around him. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Before we do, I've got a question for you, which is behind me. In life, what do you need? What do you just have to have? I'll give you 30 seconds to talk with your neighbours, and we'll go through them. Cool. Great. So you've probably thought of some really good ideas. Matt certainly said a few that I hadn't thought of. So some people would go for food, water, Stephen. We'll go food, water, and shelter. Basic needs. Maslow's hierarchy, was it? Something like that. So yeah, they're sort of the basics that we might need. Oh, they've all come up at once. Anyway, we'll go through them. A watch, a car, a ring on that particular finger. I know I feel naked without mine. That perfect summer holiday. If you don't have the perfect weather, ooh, that's not so good. That gorgeous matching handbag. Yep. So your spouse, of course. Oh, a clean house. Who likes a clean house? Most people. Hey, the perfect child or your mobile telephone. So I've got a little bit of a clip for you that you might enjoy, might relate to a little bit. So I'll let you watch that, and then I'll come back. Great. So, glad you liked it. So what I want to talk about today is perspective, and kind of getting distracted from what God wants us to do, see, maybe his purpose in our life. So mobile phones are a little bit distracting. You might be in a situation having dinner with your sibling, and you don't actually take in your surroundings because your attention is so focused on what is under your nose, i.e. your mobile phone, or maybe in a different situation, it could be a different thing. So there's a photo up on here taken from a video. You might have seen it before. It's a bit of an old video, but essentially you're told, in the top right-hand corner, you're told to watch the basketball and count the number of passes made by the players. But little do you know, there's a gorilla walking across the screen, but you're so focused on looking at that basketball and counting the number of passes that you don't actually notice the gorilla. Obviously, this is a still. You can see it. I've told you. Great. You're welcome. So where is your attention? You might be looking at exactly the same scene, but you might completely miss the point. So is your ice cream getting a la hot or your apple pie getting a la cold, like in the video? Do you like it? You're a bit weird if you do, because you know, the contrast is quite nice. Who wants a tepid dessert when you could have a mouth-tinglingly tasty, delicious dessert with all the right textures, tastes, and temperatures? That's what Asaph is on about in the rest of this psalm. We'll get there soon, but before we do, we need to iron out a few things. Why would Asaph be jealous of anyone else? He has it made. He is a songwriter for David. He's well cared for. He's serving the Lord in a really great way. And he's the chief worshipper in David's court. Why does he look at the wicked and get jealous? Like when we settle for the idol of our mobile phone or whatever other thing you might be really fixated on, why would you when you could have the presence and glory of God, the continual presence and glory of God. Probably a similar reason to all of us. Probably because all these things are engaging in the short term and take our attention, it's probably just worth clarifying that an idol isn't necessarily a golden calf. It's not necessarily a plastic Superman that you pray to. Although I think those count, so maybe you shouldn't be doing that. An idol is anything that takes our attention away from God and takes God's place in our lives. And if you scroll on a few more, Stephen. Yes. And there's a bunch of people dressed as super men and women having a really great time. But maybe they're a little bit too into it. I don't know. So anyway, you might know some folk who are like the people in the video who are fixated on their mobile phones a bit too much. I know I do. And you might have an idea of where I'm going with this. If you thought I was going to say good Christians should never use their mobile phones and be afraid of technology, you'd be wrong. If one of the things you said you needed in life was a mobile phone, you're not alone. We live in a modern world, and these can be valuable tools that we can use in our lives to get to know each other better, for the glory of God, to bring you close to people, live life with them, and build communities. So don't worry, I'm not going to condemn you or myself and say the 11th commandment is thou shalt never use thy phone that is mobile. Rather, the 11th commandment is, of course, thou shalt give Jono much as cake at the picnic. So, if only that were true. So, that's a bit of silliness, but let's talk about the must test. I read it in a pretty good book by Julian Hardiman. It goes something like this. I absolutely must have this, insert your item from part one here that you're a bit fixated on. So, it could be a mobile phone, it could be first class degree. Congratulations to some people who got those recently. It could be the perfectly behaved child, this car, boyfriend, girlfriend, cat, or a potted plant in your garden, if you're really into your gardening. Whatever that thing is that you must have, think about that right now. Does that control you? Does your mental health rest on that possession, on the reputation it brings you, or the control it gives you, or the pleasure, or the comfort, or the security? I'm not going to spend too long on any of these, or even the theory behind it, but I just wanted to share some surface idols, like cars, boyfriends, girlfriends, children, new mobile phone, that might be holding you back from everything God has in life for you, and in his purpose for you, a bit similar to what Zoe was saying earlier. Achievement can be one of those too. That's in the deeper idols, which is reputation, achievement, beauty, pleasure, comfort, security, or control. So next time you think, I must have this, underline the must. Try replacing that with, I might like it if, or it'd be nice if I could have. Because I know that as I've been preparing for this, God has shown me a few things I should look at. So when you're sat there thinking, I'm the only one, in the nicest possible way, you're not the only one. Many of us care too much about what people's opinions are of us. Count me into that one. But there's lots of other things that you could be struggling with. That's not an unachievable, an unsurmountable problem. So we're all in the same boat. We're all church. We all love each other. Right? Excellent. Glad you gave the right answer. So freedom in Christ is one of those good things that you can do if you struggle with some of these things, like many of us. I think, Janet, is that your thing to organize? Yes, it is. So yeah, talk to Janet if you're interested in doing Freedom in Christ, if you struggle with a few of these things that I'm talking about today. But in the short term, prayer partners assemble. There's a prayer team at the end, and they'll be happy to pray with you, as would I. So that's a bit of a tangent from what we were talking about, but let's get back on track. So lift your eyes up from your mobile phone or whatever it is you might be using. Set your eyes on God, just like Asaph did. Put your eyes on the big guy. That's God. So in Psalm 73, 15 to 20, I'm moving on. I'm going to go quite quickly through these next bits. So Asaph enters the sanctuary, or the temple, as it were. He understands the destiny that waits for the wicked, and they are on a slippery slope. Eventually, in this life or the next, they will be rather less fortunate than how Asaph currently sees them. And he understands that he was not in the best place mentally when he was thinking those things in 1 to 14. He was bitter, or embittered, as the passage says, but that does mean bitter. He was a brute beast. He was senseless and arrogant. Sounds like some of us before our morning coffee. Joking aside, all because he didn't look to God, he was feeling those things. He was too busy looking at his peers, at the wicked people who had apparently more than him, things that he didn't have. He was innocent and they were enjoying life. But God is good. 23 to 27 verses. He is always with us. Asaph says, he guides us. God guides us and takes us to glory. God is our strength. Asaph even says, the earth has nothing he desires besides God. How great is that? Are any of us there right now? Because I know I'm definitely not. And we should always be striving towards that. So a minute ago, Asaph was envious and senseless. He was a beast. He was not a nice guy to be around at that time. One step in God's sanctuary and in God's temple, he suddenly sees everything God has for him. And boom, he's just completely changed around. He's got a completely different perspective because he's seen God and he's met with God in a real way. So don't feel ashamed. Asaph, he's in the Bible. He went through the same stuff as us. He was struggling and then he went and met with God and he turned it around. Jesus went through some of the same temptations as us as well. He was human, remember, as well as being fully God. Asaph says here that flesh and heart may fail. So if you're feeling guilty, you've put other stuff before God, give yourself a break. God welcomes you back with open arms. So Asaph in verse 28 finishes by reminding us of our purpose, which is somewhat poignant given the one event is all about purpose this year. He says, woo, one event. Nice one. I love it. So it's good to be near God. I think we knew that one already. Thanks, Asaph. I've made him my refuge, which we should all be doing on a daily basis, hopefully. I will tell of all of his deeds. It says will in the passage. Asaph is definite about this. He doesn't want to, might, he doesn't might want to do it. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, will tell of all his deeds. One last scripture. We'll go to 1 Timothy 4:4-5. So, if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, just read this. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated, or made sacred, by the word of God and prayer. So whenever you're enjoying that thing that you said at the start, just receive it with thanksgiving, because that's what God wants us to do. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected. So receive it with thanksgiving. So let's get our perspective right and enjoy God's gifts. Let's focus on him. Remove those must barriers, all those idols, if you will. And let's keep your focus, keep your perspective focused on him. Enjoy his gifts. Tell of all his deeds. The last quote I'll leave you with is this by Matthew Henry. He's a Bible commentator. He says, if we make God's glory in us the end we aim at, he will make our glory with him the end we shall forever be happy in. Cool. And that's where I'll leave it. So thanks for having me. And I'll pass it back over to these guys. Come on, guys.